Well, we are in the second week of a 10-week series of called This Is Us that actually was to be preached between our lead pastor, Keith Coward, and myself, and I've already talked about why Keith is not here this morning. Hope you were here during that time. But we're going to do this message this morning, and the message this morning is outwardly focused. Outwardly focused. You know, last week at the very beginning, the first message, Keith talked a lot about our beginnings of Christ Community Church. You know, I want to remind us that the church actually started to form in 1997 in the living room of their home on Robin's Nest. And over the years, the church has moved to different locations, Sheraton Hotel, to Arnold Middle School. Went actually back to Sheraton for a minute, but then on to Carmike Theater. And then we landed at that place where Andrew and I came on board on Midtown Drive, that old car dealership. You know, it's like moving from place to place. But you know one thing about it? God was working in their midst all along. He was working in their midst because he was giving them a vision of who they were and what it is that he was calling them to. Now, there's a proverb that talks about if people don't have vision, you know, they're lost without a vision. Proverbs 29:18 is where it's found. The Message paraphrase, I love the way Peterson paraphrased that. He says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they're most blessed. Where am I going with this? You see, in those early days, just like in our early faith journey, God begins to give us vision for what it is that he calls us to and who we are. He identifies us and he gives us a new name, a new identity. And this is what the truth is about Christ Community Church. And if you're listening to this, to the church that you attend or to the church that you probably will be attracted to, I believe that all God, you know, as he formed these churches, his way of redeeming his people, he gives all of us a unique identity. And vision is important to God. Why is it so powerful? Why is it so important, so powerful? It's several reasons. One, vision defines identity. It provides direction. It sharpens focus. It promotes unity, and it inspires commitment. So we need vision. And in those early days, when they were wandering from place to place, not knowing sometimes literally where they were going to meet next, God was beginning to give them the vision. I want to share with you three scriptures in the main part of this message today. But before I go to the scriptures, you know, somewhere around between Carmike Theater and Midtown Drive, God gave Christ Community a mission statement. Mission statement I'm quite sure you're familiar with. We exist to awaken ordinary people to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community. That's who we are. It's what we do. This is us, so to speak. We have core values, strategies, mission measures. One of the core values that that's going to really touch on what we're talking about today is intentional outreach. Because God loves people who are lost, we love people who are lost. How do we know when we're hitting the mark? How do we know when we are loving people who are lost like God loves people who are lost? Well, we know it when we personally and corporately focus time, attention, and resources toward people outside our church, locally, regionally, and globally. That's when we know. Outwardly focused. I believe that's why God just laid it on my heart so heavy to lead us in a time of ministry to one another right in the middle of the worship set. Because we can, if we're not careful, we can come in here looking for my word. What's my word for today? Somebody encourage me. And we can walk right past our brothers and sisters sitting right to our left, our right, front and rear, and we can't see the pain that's in their eye. One of the scriptures that was key informing this mission statement. This mission statement, you know, I know some of you already are thinking, oh, here's this corporate kind of talk, you know. I can get that down at one of those alphabet companies I work at. But, you know, this is important in the body of Christ as well. And it's scriptural. One of the first scriptures, one of the first passages is simply the one that we've talked about a lot this year, from Matthew 9, 35 through 38. You know how it goes. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and teaching, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I'm going to pause right there because that's key. See, I know for me, when I hear that we are to love people who are lost, like because God loves people who are lost, and I hear that word lost, you know, we've distorted that word so much, but I believe right here in Jesus' words, we get exactly what it means to be lost. That means that they're like sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. And sometimes, even though I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I have given my life to him, every now and then, life has a way to getting us in this place to where we're harassed and helpless. But thank God, I have a shepherd. And therefore, I am no longer lost. But that is not the truth about some people who are outside of this gathering this morning. And that's why we have to stay outwardly focused. You know, in the early days, if you heard these stories, and I'm trying very hard not to just talk about the glory days. You know how people talk about the glory days? Bill Gaddy, he talks about the glory days all the time, don't you, Bill? You know, when he used to be an athlete and all that stuff. But, you know, it's something about it. I mean, it is good to reminisce. But we're gonna put this in context. You know, in the early days, what Christ community did in those days at the car dealership, they started servant evangelism type programs, not just so to do something, but so that they could fuel that whole idea of being outwardly focused. They did things like washing cars for free, wrapping gifts, shining shoes, cleaning toilets in public places, passing out free drinks on a hot afternoon. And the reason they felt it was important to do that is because it started to stir up something in the people. And the people start doing other things, you know. Other stuff started being birthed. Ministries start being birthed out of that. And you've heard about the skate park. You've heard about the skate park. That, you know, I believe that was because the people that were assembled had an outward focus. They were outwardly focused. That skate park. I could tell it to you, but I'm gonna set up a little clip, a little short clip, because I want you to hear from somebody that actually experienced it. Now the story goes that in those days, the youth pastor at that time went to Keith and said, "We got some kids that's come and asked if they could skate in the back of this place that we call a church." They said, "Sure, yeah, let them do it." And from what I understand, immediately, 20, 30 kids just showed up and started hanging out. And of course, they invited them to be a part of the church. And then they went to Keith and said, "Well, we need to build them a half pipe." And he didn't know what that was. You know, he's from a little country boy like I am. We didn't know about no half pipe. But that led to somebody seeing what was happening, and some generous person just wrote a check for $10,000 so that they could build what these kids need to skate. That is me talking about it. But what you're going to see here is about a 3-minute clip. It was taken from our 20th year anniversary we did just a couple of months ago. And I want to set it up because we're going right in the middle of it, so I want you to know what you're about to see. Keith was interviewing some people that were a part of all of this. And you're going to see a young man who's going to talk about what happened to him because of that skate park. I want you to watch this. attention to school.
But from there, thousands of kids came into our community through this outreach. And Jeremy, you were one of those. Tell us your story.
I didn't realize this was going to be so hard. This church is everything to me. I wouldn't be here without it. I was at the lowest of my lows. I had hurt those closest to me and lived life for myself to the fullest. Everything I wanted, I did. I had all the world could give me. And it gave me nothing. And I was out delivering pizzas. I was in college at the time. I was out delivering pizzas. And I saw this park and I thought to myself, I grew up skating. If they could give someone like me a place to go, that got to be something. So I showed up a couple Sundays. And, you know, this is actually dressed up from where I would have looked like when I came in the doors then. But, you know, I was just trying to sneak in the back. And, you know, when I started at Midtown, it was all glass. There was no sneaking really anywhere. So I kind of walked in the door and, you know, just sat in the back and listened. Music was kind of, you know, upbeat and cool. Not what I was thinking, old hymns that I heard from when I was going to funerals when I was a kid or whatever. But, you know, just over, you know, they still welcomed me. They, you know, every time I walked in the door, that I couldn't leave without them saying, hey, I hope you had a good service. You know, let us know if you need anything or if we can pray for you for any reason at all whatsoever. And, you know, after a few, you know, Sundays coming and just, you know, getting to meet people and them really being genuine. You know, I was sitting there and Keith was preaching and his voice just faded away and God just spoke into my heart. And, you know, it was like Kelly saying, now, you know, I came because of an outreach and that just worked in my heart and my soul and I can't not serve now. You know, it's, you know, I see people like me every single day. Wow. I know what they're feeling and I want to just give Jesus to them because that's where life is.
Wow.
That is, I see people. I just want to give Jesus to them. That young man is still a part of our church, and I hope you picked up in there. Keith mentioned briefly, thousands of kids came to that skate park. And the people that were part of that still run into people to just this very day to talk about how that changed their life. I wish I had time to, you know, Raven Henderson was in that clip, Pat Corner was in that clip. But what the results of things like this? This is the results of it. What you see on the screen now are two people that got baptized because they started hanging out at that skate park. Raven Henderson, talented young lady, Jason Doblin, who is now serving with his family over in China. He'll be here in a couple of weeks. That's the result of us having an outwardly focus. You know, I mentioned Pat Corner. Memory Lane was another of those outreaches. Where our location was, there was a bar named Memory Lane across the street. And somebody had called Keith and asked him about, why are you letting these people park in your parking lot? Y'all need to build a fence to keep them out. And he's like, I think that's the wrong way. I don't think that's the way we want to go. And little did he know that Pat Corner and others had been praying about these cars that will be parked in the parking lot when they rode by after hours of church and the beer bottles that had been left out there to clean up on Sunday mornings. And what God began to stir in them was, why don't you just cook them breakfast? And they would go, they would start at 10 o'clock at night. And I think this went on for almost a year. And yes, I've met people that have come to Christ because simply people got up early in the morning, late at night, cooked them breakfast when they were drunk, and just loved on them. That's an outward focus. You know, second scripture, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the third scripture that shaped our identity, that gave us, you know, that let us become, say, this is us. It's from Romans 10:14-15. And how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. When we keep an outward focus, not only people start to come, or people say, it's not necessarily come in here, come into our church. They start coming to Jesus. Let me make that real clear. I mean, you know, this is not something promoting so as to build this place up. We're talking about building up the kingdom of God. See, if they never decide to step into Christ's community church, but yet they develop a relationship with Jesus, that's what we're after. That's what God is after. That is what he wants. And when that begins to happen, people's lives are transformed. People's agendas are changed. Their focus becomes new. One last clip I want you to see. Because over the 20 years, God has done some amazing things in and through the people that have called Christ Community Church home. Watch this video. Now, Keith will probably be wrapping up his portion about now, maybe about another 10 minutes from now, but we're going to wrap up his portion now. But the point of this, all that we've talked about so far, is this is what God has richly blessed us here, to be a blessing to others. But now, what about now? What about us? What about the present? You know, I could go on. I can get on my soapbox about that, but I'm not going to do that, because I have somebody standing right here with me that really champions this. Pam Bone is the director of Live Ministries. Will y'all welcome Pam Bone? Is she right there? So Pam, let's start with this. Just tell us what's happening in Live Ministry world these days.
I love talking about that because we have so many faithful teams, and I'm just going to put them on the overhead so you can see them. But we have a jail ministry who ministers to those who are incarcerated. We have Micah's Promise, who has the aim of setting children free that are sexually exploited. Highland Community and Feed My Sheep want to serve those meals that, you know, people make sure they have food. Carver, who also has a heart to feed the football players before they go play, but also provide some positive male mentorship. Reese Road, which is just a heart for us to support that school in a way that might build a healthier environment for them at school and at home. And Empowered to Foster, and that effort is directed at supporting families who love and care for kids who are in the foster care system.
Well, we appreciate you celebrating those ministries, those outreach opportunities that are already happening. And I just want to remind everyone that those are ongoing, and you can join right in. I mean, Pam will be out in the welcome area. If you, any of those kind of got your interest, she'll be more than happy to put you in touch with a person that can get you plugged in. So that's what we're currently doing.
That's right. And those are very targeted ministries, and like Derek said, they would love for you to plug into that. But as we were considering outreach at Christ Community Church, we still felt that there was a void and that there's something missing. And I think what was missing was kind of created by the fact that we were planted here, how many years ago?
Seven years.
8 years ago at this address, 4078 Milgen Road, and that we are a neighbor to lots of folks. We have people, let's see, this is our east. We have people down there at Cooper Creek, thousands of people that come through there playing tennis and having family time. We have businesses across the street, small business owners. We have probably 10,000 people down at CSU that work there or go to school there. And right behind us to our south are thousands of homes and people that may need to know Jesus.
Okay. So you said we a couple of times, and I happen to know that God has really blessed you with a group of people that have come alongside you that are outreach-minded, like you are looking outside, and you've all been doing some work. Tell us about what's been happening.
Yeah, God is faithful, and I do have a wonderful team who has come alongside that has a heart for this. And we were tasked with examining this core value of intentional outreach, and as we prayed over the scriptures that you've already talked about this morning, I really felt compelled by just the unconditional love that God has for us and for all, for everybody, for everyone.
Okay.
And so that kind of sparked this thought about the Great Commandment, which is in Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. And it really has compelled and driven and guided this desire to actually share the good news with all of our neighbors, to love everyone.
What is that? You want to refer to the scripture?
Oh, yeah. Here it is. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and all your strength. And then the second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so that has compelled this desire to do the summer outreach, and we really believe that that's a good starting point to move us forward.
Summer outreach.
Okay, yes,
sir. So there is a plan to help us get started in making sure that we keep our focus outward.
Yes, sir.
All right, so talk to us about this summer outreach. What does that look like?
Okay, well, this is what it looks like. We have opportunities that are planned throughout the months of June, July, and the 1st of August, and we have tried to scatter those out through different days of the week, just to help provide opportunities for everyone to plug in, and most of them are great for the whole family. So we hope people will do that. And the next opportunity is a neighborhood outreach. So we're going to canvas part of the neighborhood behind us. We want to invite people into the life that we enjoy at Christ Community Church, as well as invite them into Vacation Bible School if they have children. Another thing that we're doing throughout the summer is we're collecting items to bless some of our small business owners over here, bless the staff. So be looking for ways that you can bring things in to help with that effort. And I'll just mention one more because we have so many, but the end of the month we're going to do an outreach at Cooper Creek. Not at Cooper Creek, at Lake Bottom. We'll do one at Cooper Creek too, but at Lake Bottom that we're going to have a cookout, and y'all can just join that team and invite people to have a hot dog and a cold water and just kind of spend time with people that are enjoying their Friday night down at the park.
Now, you're listening to this, and you're saying, yeah, 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 but I tell you, I had the opportunity yesterday. I heard about, because this has started already, and yesterday I heard about a team that was going down to East Columbus to help a veteran through House of Heroes, and had a full day yesterday, but God just said, you need to go look. You need to go see this for yourself. I was almost embarrassed when I got there, because when I got there, this team, led by Pastor Nick and Brandon, you know, led a team and connected with the House of Heroes, and they went down to Mr. Colbert's house in East Columbus. Mr. Colbert, retired Navy, retired 2 years before I retired from the Army. We had a great conversation. That's him. He's in the very back there, bald head like me. But I got a chance to chat with him briefly. And he told me, he said, they went out, his home was just overrun with vegetation, and he could not physically go out and do anything. And these people, Kelly Holt, I'm looking at her right over there, there she is. They went out there, and they worked hard. We don't have a picture of all of the things they brought to the curb, but you couldn't even almost see the house for all of the vegetation they had cut and dragged to the front to be picked up. And he told me, he said, there was no way I could have done this by myself. A father and son was part of the team. One of our members took his son. What a great outing for a father and son. I'm trying to give you a visual. I want you to see, you know, sometimes when we do things like this and we say focus outwards and we talk about different events, we see, I don't have time for that. How can we not have time? How can we not have time? So Pam, kind of share with everyone, how can they get involved in this? What would you say, what are the steps to getting involved?
Well, I think you just hit the first one that I would say is that you need to decide that intentional outreach is a priority for you. That would be step number one. And then the second thing would be to ask the Lord to give you his heart for others, for other people. And then the last one, just practically register today. Come out to the booth out there. We've got lots of sheets. You can just put your name and the event you're interested in, or you can go to the website. We have registration link at www.ccclive.org/outreach.
Second thing is just ask the Lord to give us his heart.
Yes.
Let's join me as we pray about this, not only for Pam and the team, because, you know, they're not doing all the work. They're there to equip us to do the work of the ministry.
That's right.
So let's go. But Father, we just thank you for just these reminders that you've given us. Lord, we pray that you will move in our hearts, that we will have a heart like you have for people, for all people, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would empower those that have stepped out in faith to lead these different efforts all through the month of June, July, and may it just be a beginning for us. It's just another reminder to keep us focused outward. Father, we pray that. Father, we ask blessings upon Pam and her team, upon all those who are going to lead, and all those that will participate. Give us favor. And Lord, we pray for the one that we will come in contact with. And may they feel the love of God through whatever it is that we pick our hands up to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's one last way.
Yeah, well, it's something to do with this T-shirt, right?
Yep.
Okay, what is that?
So, do y'all like the T-shirt? Okay, well, that's awesome because we want everybody to get one today. They're for sale out in the Resource Center, $15 for adults, $10 for children, and the children's ones are bright orange. They're really cool. So if you'll stop by there and see Al or Lisa Abeda, they will be glad to sell you a T-shirt.
Now, why are we selling T-shirts? What is that about?
Well, it's to help promote our summer outreach and moving forward, and to support our outreach efforts financially.
The proceeds from the T-shirt sales help make these things happen.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. Give you a hand.
So let's tie this all together. You know, why is this so important? Let me share with you another scripture. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." See, that's what's behind all of what we've been talking about. It's Jesus' command to all of us. Make disciples. You know, whether it be Celebrate Recovery or Man School or House of Heroes or Community Group or, you know, on and on and on, whatever it is. You know what it is, you know what it boils down to? It's simply discipleship. Servant evangelism, witnessing. You know, we got all kind of names we want to call it. But you know what it is in its simplest and most powerful form? It's simply discipleship. That's what it's about. That's what we are to do. We are to go. Go. Can you go sitting here? I'm asking you a question. Can you go sitting here? No, we can't. We have to go. We have to go. And then we go, we do what? We make disciples. And then I don't want us to miss this. Baptizing them, causing them to have a new identity. God does it, but then we get an opportunity to celebrate it. Baptizing them, and then teach them. You know, I think we've lost, somehow we can lose focus on this, especially when we start to turn inward. When we start thinking about, like right now in the season that we're in right now, you know, Keith and Pam, I mean, for some of you, you might thinking, oh man, Keith's not here today. I thought I was looking forward to hearing him preach. You know, well, that's going to be a real reality real soon. And there's a temptation for us to start turning inward. But God is saying, don't you do that. I want you to go and make disciples, baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then doing what? Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Discipleship. That's what it's all about. I got a chance, and it happens in some of the strangest places, in some of the most unusual ways. I saw it happening yesterday as I went to a funeral of a husband of one of our members who wasn't a big church goer, and she was in turmoil about this. But as the service unfolded and I got a chance to spend some time with her, she told me, I'm so encouraged because I have evidence. I know that he had started reading his Bible before he died. And then she told me something kind of interesting. She said, and somebody told me, I saw him at a men's breakfast. And I said, you sure that was him? Before I left there, another brother confirmed it for me. Because somebody from man's school evidently talked to this man. He showed up in man's school one morning before he passed. In tears, she told me, knowing that he read his Bible, knowing that he did go to a men's breakfast, that's the only way I could have gotten through this right here. Now I know that he knew, and I trust that he gave his life to Christ. That discipleship, two more things and we'll be out of your way. There's a book called The False Promise of Discipleship by Bill Hull and Brandon Cook. I want to just give you two quick excerpts from it. Because when we start talking about discipleship, it says a discipleship then is someone who, grounded by grace and guided by the Holy Spirit, is increasingly rooted in an understanding and experience of how generous God is and how God has given us a new identity based not on our performance, but on his profligarity, generous acceptance. That word means his extravagant. His extravagant. See, that's what we need. So we need to reorient our life to loving, knowing, and serving others, because that's both the heart of true discipleship and the end point of discipleship. Those serving communion can make your way up front. And as they make their way up front, I want to remind us, this whole thing about outwardly focused, it's what God did for us. It is what God did for us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. We get ready to celebrate Holy Communion here together. What a wonderful way to really send the message home. Because if we think about it, if we really think about it, whether I think about it hard or long, what those gathered in that upper room on that night when he was betrayed experienced, they experienced the love of God that came down to this earth, suffered, bled, and died, but rose again that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Would you stand with me, please? As they get ready to prepare, I want us to do something. I want us to prepare ourselves. On the screen, we have from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, the writings of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. I want us to read this out loud together as we prepare. How does it start? Let's read this together. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."